top left. So Hashem, before he was going down to destroy Sodom, he said, can I conceal from Avraham that which I am about to do? I'll tell Avraham what I'm to do. Ki habora yisbora kodem sha'osa din. Hashem, before he does some kind of harsh judgment, an act of judgment, humislabesh b'ha'chesed, he first clothes himself in chesed, in loving kindness. Whereas before the act of deed itself, there's like a consideration, the clothes of chesed, v'hatam, and the reason is, ki olam chesed yibana. The world is built on chesed. It's the foundation of the Bria is chesed. Hashem's creation of the world is an act of kindness. V'hu kiyum ha'olam, chesed is the kiyum ha'olam. So, before an act of deed, he considers chesed in that deen is only in the world to serve chesed. It's all deen is here, so that Hashem's chesed in the Bria can be carried out. Every judgment that's made is l'ma'an ha'chesed. And that has to be the basic consideration. And that's what the Torah writes, Desha Kosu, v'Avraham hayo yihiyah, Avraham will become great person, v'nivachuvo, and all the people of the world will be blessed in him. Vayidei midas ha'chesed shal Avraham avinu, alav ha'shalom, nimshach bracha l'kol ha'bruim. Through the chesed of Avraham avinu, all creations receive the bracha. Alkei lo ya'azov es chasida, chasida kasid. There's a passage that says Hashem will not depart, he will not go away from his righteous ones. And it's written where this pasuk is, I don't know where it is, Hasido, his righteous one, which sounds like Avraham. It's the singular one in Chesed, Avraham Avinu. Ukamoche, it says likewise, Hu nimlach b'chol ha'gimul avos. Hashem always consults the three avos. Lachay nikru avos. Says an interesting thing. That's why they're called the Avos. That's why they're called the Fathers. Ki ein davar na'asa b'li yediyasam, because nothing is done in the world without their knowledge. So the concept of a father is the idea that he is running to a certain degree the pattern of the household. And Hashem looks at them as the Avos Ha'olam.
Do we have a raya for that?
Pardon me?
Do we have a raya for that?
The mothers are really the ones.
Yeah, I've never seen it before.
So Hashem is consulting the avos in the hanhaga of the world. That means to say that each mida, chesed, din, and rachamim, is considered with all things that are done. V'ra'inu kilo na'ase mishpat b'stam ad shenim lechba. And we see that God did not bring out the justice to Sodom until he consulted Avraham. Umiyad hiskil midas ha'chesed b'harbos b'akash. What happened as soon as Hashem told Avraham? This quality of chesed began to supplicate extensively. Avraham began to daven for the people in Sodom, if there are 50 tzaddikim, 45 tzaddikim. Once he gave his opportunity was given, that quality of chesed did its thing, did its job. It brought out that mida in the world that Avraham embodied.
But it didn't help.
It didn't help. But however, it didn't help to save Sodom. But I believe what he means is that somehow the outcome of that in consulting with the mida of chesed would be some kind of chesed for the world.
Because my next obvious question before that would have been, well, why didn't Hashem consult with him earlier, maybe? Could have helped.
You mean at an earlier time in the Mishnah? That's a good point. I don't know.
It seems in connection with Sodom that, like by the Chet of Adam and Chava, that the land itself was punished because it was described as a very fertile land, a very affluent land, and then it was Mahafeth and turned over. Now, why would, in that case, with that particular event of Sodom, why would the land itself be punished eternally? Do you have any kind of...
I don't know. I could only, offer possibilities, but I don't know. Why would have to become forever salty, barren land?
Yeah.
Don't know. Maybe consuming for the rest of the Bria. You know, it's an interesting thing I saw the other day. We brought it up. That Og hung on to the Teva,
right,
in the marble.
Yeah, sure, last week
we talked about it, right? So one of his friends wrote that Og was a giant, and he was the only remnant. He was the only remnant of the way people were like before the mob. On page 66. And in that way, why was he saved? It's not that he had any particular kind of righteousness, but that people would see this is what the great mighty people of the world were like before the Mabul, and Hashem destroyed them. As they started up with God, and even someone as great and mighty, as powerful as this, was taken care of. So he was around as a reminder of, he might be a big, powerful person, but when they tampered too greatly with the Bria, Hashem took care of them. That's why he was around. So people would say, even someone like him was destroyed. It was possible that with Sodom, it was the same thing, that was the beginning of the Bria. And that city that became so, that was at once so fertile and so affluent, and misused everything they had, used it in a corrupt way, that would be a sign for the rest of the Bria that this is what would happen. Possible.
In the war of the five kings and the four kings, was Abraham on Sodom's side?
Yes, he saved him because they were plundered by the other kings. And he was only on his side, of course, for the sake of Lot.
Right.
Because they took Lot captive at that time.
Right. Okay.
So on page 66.
What is that? I don't understand that concept of being a servant.
That means to say that an act of discipline or an act of judgment in the world is for the betterment in the world. It's not for its own sake. Like if a person, through their actions, has, let's say, done something wrong. Now, as a result of that, they're not deserving of Tov, of Chesed. So the act of judgment on them is in order to cleanse them of whatever it was they did wrong, and then they would once again be deserving of Tov. The punishment is never for its own sake. It's only in order to allow the recipient of it to receive a greater Chesed. Indeed, always serves Chesed. I mean, that's like the mashal of, the comparison to the way a parent disciplines their child. So that's how Hashem disciplines us. It's not for the purpose of lashing out at somebody, but because there's something greater in store.
But this would be good if you could do this. If you could think the step back as you're getting angry with something a child is doing or has done. Unfortunately, I can't say I'm not good yet, but to think that step back, put on clothes of chesed.
Put on the clothes of chesed first.
Yeah, we're taught, to try to back off and make sure you're dealing with a child, even if it has to require a spanking, that you're dealing with it not out of the source of anger or deed, but it's coming from chesed, that
exactly.
This is...
And I think that really is his point here. Mm-hmm. Put on the clothes of chesed before you act with deed. That's what I should
do. There's a wonderful story, I don't remember... one of the Rosh Yeshivas of the last century whose daughter said that he hit her once in his life.
and in her life. And she described the circumstance. I don't remember what it was that she'd done. He waited a week and then called her into his room and said, and he hit her, punished her. That's one thing. But the idea was that he'd taken a week to work on himself to make sure completely that there was no nothing impure attached to that.
And then she said, what was that for?
Yeah. So what you did, modern day psychologists would tear you apart and
right.
Say, no, yeah, it's too late, you got to punish him on the other
right.
She remembered it her whole life.
She did
remember it for her whole life.
Yeah, why not?
Now he then takes the concept and he broadens it and he says in actuality there's a consultation, so to speak, with all of the avos before Hashem acts. And that means that this is a concept of it's called mizug, that there's a mixture of the three central midos in the Bria, Chesed, Din, and Rachamim, in all things. There's some kind of a mizug of those three midos. And they, of course, they're embodied by Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's what he's referring to, that the avos are consulted before Hashem acts. And it says, as soon as he told Abraham, then Abraham went into his midos ha-chesed mode, and he began praying for them. Ad Shehiskim, until the Mida of Chesed was ultimately appeased. Now, what does that mean? Avram didn't take it further than 10. He went to 10, and he never even said, how about 9? Apparently, that the Mida of Chesed that he represented was satisfied, and that to go further than that was no longer even within the bounds of Chesed. Chesed has its bounds, too. To save them for the sake of less than that would not be doing anybody any good. Now, why that's the case, you know, we could speculate what the number 10 means and things like that.
But is this the kind of Klal and Prat kind of idea? Could we think about it in that?
I'm not sure what you mean.
The 10 being a minion, a number where there's a certain creation of a Klal. There was Abraham's Nida of arousing Chesed was in terms of a Klal here, but perhaps not extending to individuals.
I don't know.
If that's the case, then what is the point of causing?
Well, there the way the Rashi learns it is that they, you know, they in some way he's always working for a minion, some kind of configuration.
Five
of nine, and then someone else was, I think Hashem was to be mistari for the 10, or someone else was to be mistari for the 10.
If Hashem would be mistari for the 10 in the case of 25,
would
he be mistari for the
10
in the case of 9?
Well, I guess not. I always find it very mysterious, you know, how that was working. And then he says, and even all the more so now that Abraham Avinu is supplicating Hashem and always putting forth his Midah of Chesed after he left this earth, because we know Tzadikim are greater in their death than they are in their lifetime. So if he was insistent on the Midah of Chesed when he was walking the earth, he says all the more so now in our times. He's no longer on the earth, and he's greater. When Hashem dresses himself in chesed, he hears a real good talk from Abraham and all things that are done.
Thank you.
read this little section from the Derech Hashem. It's in the fourth chelik, Perek Shishi, letter Yud Aleph. He's talking about the structure of tefillah. Says the Tzehine Tzorich Shateda, it's necessary to know Shesugei Hashpah Hal Yona, the categories of Hashem's emanations to the world, Shetachteha Nichlolim Kol Minei Hashpah Supratayim, that included in all these things Hem Shorsha, there are three. There are three general kinds of Hashpah, three fundamental kinds of Hashpah Hashem gives to the world. V'hem ha-nirmazim b'shlosh othios Hashem Baruch Hu, and they are hinted at in the three letters of Hashem's name. V'chiburam b'yachad l'hashlamas ha-briya kula nirmaz b'hei achrona, and then the joining of the three to be mashlim, to complete the world, is hinted to in the last letter of Hashem's name. So he said, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that the Yud Kei Vav is meramis to each of the three general patterns in Hanhaga, that we'll see in a minute, Chesed, Gevura, and Rachamim. And that the fourth one, the final Hey, is the three of them with that Nizug I was talking about. V'kinegdam Shlosha HaKinuyim, corresponding to them are the three descriptions in Shmona Esrei, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanara. So when we begin Shmona Esrei, what do we say? Okay, Abraham, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. We're mentioning each of the three midos, and we also say Hakel, Hagodo, Hagibor, Vahanora. Each one of those midos is one of these three. Mamam Shicho Sam Kurui. What is the vehicle that brings forth these three hashpahs into the world appropriately? Huzachu Sam Shal Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. It is the merit of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. What is it that brings forth the complete combination of all of them? That is the merit of David HaMelech. That he joins with the Avos to complete the Tikkun of Yisrael. Corresponding to these three types of hashpa'ah that we're trying to bring down from Shemayim are the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei, which we call avos, when we call them avos. Nubahem nimshach hashapah ha'elyon bichla. When we say those three brachos, Magen Avraham Achai Hamesim and Hakel HaKadosh, we bring down all the hashpa'ah that the world needs in a general sense. Biachar kach b'emzoyos nimshach lepratim kefi hatzorah. In the middle brachos of Shemona Esrei, that general pool of hashpa'ah that we just brought down, it gets funneled into each and every bracha that's said after that. Fonein Hadas, Teshuvah, Refuah, Parnasa, each one of the middle brachos is to take that general hashpa'ah and to funnel it into its rightful place. B'shalosh ha'achronos, and on the three final brachos of Shemona Esrei, which is Ritzei, Modim and Sim Shalom, Mishazeku Mitziyasheb and Mekablim, then the bracha that has been brought down into each category is solidified. Al Yidei HaHodah Shenos Nimalev, by thanking Hashem for it, that's what Modim is, it solidifies the Hashpah. V'zeh Klal Tikkun HaTefillah Kula, this is in general the Tikkun HaTefillah. So I believe that he is referring to this concept here in this five service. Hashem considers each of the three midos. That means those are the three main hashpahs that come into the world in some form or combination or another. And any time something is done, those are considered and then funneled into their rightful place. Although here, he seems to put Avraham at the top. And that's the case in Shemona Esrei too, that if we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Magen Avraham, it begins, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, but it ends, Magen Avraham. We don't say Magen Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We say Magen Avraham. I think that's the concept of Olam Chesed Ivana, that the fundamental mita, the basis for everything is Chesed. It all comes down to Chesed.
The bottom line.
Bottom. Top.
God's
side. Okay, let's take a look at one more.
Rabbi, you've talked a couple of times. I remember on Sukkot one of the when we were in your Sukkot, we talked about so in terms of we go into the sukkah to come under God's protection, and then we take the will of. So you, how do you bring down a brother, and then you, you're macabre like in a different way. And I'm starting to see that in a lot of things that I've heard. Like in this case, you're doing something very similar to an Esrei. You're bringing it down, and then in the last three brachot, you're being
solidified,
right? And I forget what it is, but during your drush on Shabbos, you said something very similar.
This past Shabbos?
This past Shabbos. We brought something down, and then we were makabel of it afterwards. So that's, that seems to be a general theme that is popping
it
up
is.
In my
you
head.
You find it in many places.
Over and over again.
Right. Find it in many places. In many forms.
It's kind of simple. Drop it.
Let's take a look at page 67. Left column in the middle. We always have to get one from the left column to get up. Something about that position. But when we lean to the left, we have to be in the middle somewhere. Lehine, mitzvah zu shel ha'akeda. This mitzvah of the akeda, Hashem told Abraham to bring Yitzchak. Lo nigmara b'maitzah. We know that this mitzvah was never completed in the realm of action, because he never shechted Yitzchak. Rak haya ritzono yisparach. So what did Hashem really want from this? She'ihiya muchan neshavta. He wanted that Abraham to be thoroughly prepared to shechta. He wasn't interested in the act itself of the shechita, but absolutely prepared to do so. Behind the shahaya avoda gevoha ma'od. Because this was a very great and lofty avoda. Ki shorish ha-mitzvahs him lamala me'ateva. The source of mitzvahs truly are above nature. Barak ha'or mislabesh b'masa ha-gashmi. But Hashem crafted it in such a way that this light, which is in every mitzvah, somehow is presented in the physical act. It's truly above the physical act. And somehow, when we do it the way Hashem wants us to do it, that light penetrates the world. The yesh mitzvah, shehi b'machshava, shehi rak b'machshava. There is such thing as a mitzvah which only exists in the plane of thought. It has no action. And will. This kind of mitzvah is so great that it cannot be closed in physical action. Now this would be for us the mitzvah to medios, right? Emunah, right? Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. Those are internal mitzvahs. Now they may take a form. You may do something because of your emunah, or because of your ahava, or because of your yira. It may take a form. But it doesn't have to. It's an inner preparedness. Emunah is an inner preparedness. And in that respect, it does not have to be attached to a physical deed. It could be, but it doesn't have to be.
Besides those mitzvahs that we do because of emunah v'ahava, we actually do all of those mitzvahs.
Yes.
We don't have to have that intent.
Right.
So, they're not really...
That's right.
So if you're in some way prepared, God forbid, to give your life in Kiddush Hashem, you're zochei to mitzvah, even if it doesn't happen.
The Ramchal says that explicitly in the Derech Hashem. I referred to it a little bit last week also in the Drasha, that Kavana, when we say to Shema, the Kavana to give our life over. It's one of the Kavanas of Kriya Shema, that we think about giving our life to Hashem. And he says there, that in a certain way, it's ke'ilu we did it. If we've reached that level of preparedness for Mesiras Nefesh, for Kiddush Hashem, then it's ke'ilu we did it.
Interesting, because that, that in a sense goes opposite the sort of dilemma or the fall of human nature that came with the eating of the tree. It's a dusk. The Orga Dalyell speaks of that as where the Yetzirah came within us at that point, and had the koach hadimyon to create kind of the imaginative faculty in people, and that takes people away from reality. So in a certain sense, you can really see in Kriya Shema in that we're in a sense directly reversing the way in which the Yetzer Hara caused our nature.
Very nice thought of V'yesh, I said already. V'avram avinu la v'shalom nisnase v'eser nisyonos v'taken asorama amaros. Avram avinu was tested with 10 tests to be misaken, to rectify the 10 ma'amoros and complete the 10 statements with which the world was created. Each one of them then was on a universal scale.
What was wrong with what is being misaken?
That's the job of human beings. When Hashem left the world slightly incomplete for people to be misaken.
What does it mean to be misaken the Asar and Ma'amaros?
I think that's what he means. Of course, Hashem's Ma'amaros are perfect, but he created the world through his Ma'amaros in a way where people would have to be
misaken. He means misaken the Bria.
Right. And each one of them was corresponding to a Nisayon of Avraham Avinu. Nimsa Nisayon Ha'asiri Hu B'makam Gavah Ma'od. So that's the case. The 10th Nisayon of Avraham is in a very lofty plane. That means to say that, remember, these are not just personal tests that he's going through, but he's really struggling with tests on a cosmic scale. It's not just him as a person. He's representing the Bnei Yisrael, he's representing the whole power of people in the world. By the time he gets to the 10th one, which would be the Midah of Keser, and Keser is Ratzon, is will. So that 10th Nisayon, I believe what he's saying here, is connected to Avraham Avinu's will. Right? He willed to do the Akedah, but it didn't go into the realm of action.
I learned also when I was learning this parsha, because there's a lot of mitzvahs about people holding the law, all these things that Avraham does, it's like what he did in this parsha, he set the tone for the rest of us forever. Right? Do you think he knew that?
Yes, I do. The others were aware that what they did was going to have some historical consequences.
The cosmic recapitulation of the history of Jewish people would end up, I mean, I guess the end result would require us to make the sacrifice as great as the things we've done.
I don't know. Okay. So that's why Hashem said to Abraham at the end of the Nisayon of the Akedah, now I have known, Ki Yorei Elokim, that you are a God-fearing person. Even though it never came into the realm of action, because the Akedah didn't actually occur in action, Kach nitken b'das v'elyon ha'mabukish v'menu. But it was the tikkun in the lofty plane of Das. In other words, specifically, it was not to be brought into the realm of action. It was too high for the realm of action. It represented Das or Elyon, which I believe refers to the Midah of Keser. Then he just alludes to another concept. It's a pasuk that says, "Lekeil to Hashem, gomer olai, who completes upon me." What does that mean that Hashem completes upon me? That the finishing act of avoda is bidei shamayim, and that's what I was referring to also last week. That we have our limitation, and then the ultimate act of completion comes from God.
Is that in Tehillim, Professor?
I think so. So Avraham, the final Nisayon, the last of the 10 Nisyanos, it couldn't go into the realm of Maaseh. This is a different thought he's saying here, because Hashem has to complete it. Avram took it as far as people can go, and then it was completed by Krishna.
Well, it almost seems that Abraham completed it in a physical sense in his way, and Hashem completed it for a really total shlemus in a total way. You know, more than Abraham didn't, you know, was didn't complete it in a sense. You know. It was like both of them were a completion.
It's as complete as people can make it.
Right. It's almost like the Ramchal talks about in his second chapter on creation, that Hashem gave us the ability to emulate Him as much as we are able to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeshua. Mm-hmm.